Hello, welcome to Castle Radio. Hello, welcome to Practical Witchery with Stephanie Peterson and Oceana LeBlanc. Good morning, Oceana. How are you?
Good morning, Stephanie. I am amazed. I'm amazed this morning. I just have to say this morning has just been incredible. It's been awesome.
Tell us about it.
Otherworldly in many ways. How are you?
Let's hear it. Kind of the same. Yes, kind of the same. I'm having lots of opportunity to grow this morning. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, me too. You know, I'm an Aquarius, like a Q-U-E-R-Y, and I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. And this is like, you know, I don't like to show up not knowing, but today I don't know. I'm guessing, you know, because a series of events took place, and it happened before, and I'm sort of wondering what, you know, how do people approach that kind of thing, you know? And so I'll give you a little background. I was invited to be a prayer chaplain. That's one of the things that I do. I'm a prayer chaplain for Unity. And I was invited to be a prayer chaplain for another prayer chaplain's funeral. And her last wishes were that all the prayer chaplains would be there in service to everyone at the funeral. And I was very honored and, you know, and wanted to be there. And, of course, as a mother, you and I both know, like, the most inopportune things happen with our kids when we make commitments, right? So my son got sick last night and, you know, felt sick and stayed home from school today. So here I have a sick child. Well, he's a teenager, but still, you know, they don't feel good. You want to be there for them. And I moved my appointments, all my work, because funerals really have to happen in their own time. They're not things that can be postponed or, you know, funerals happen and life has to move around them. So I moved everything, got all ready to go, get all the way there. It's half an hour away, and there is not one parking spot anywhere. I drove around for close to an hour in circles around blocks, through, you know, checking parking lots, you name it. I tried conjuring a parking spot, which is something that I've been very successful at doing in the past. It was not going to happen. And finally, I'm thinking, well, the funeral's probably almost over. I have to make a, you know, I know that we're going to be on the air at 11, and I guess I didn't get to go. And it's just so strange. So, like, what do you do in those? Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yes, where you're all geared up to do something, and you get there, and there seems to be usually really stupid reason why you can't. And it could be that you've got the wrong key to the door. It could be a parking thing. It could be that they gave you the wrong address, and it would take too long to get across town to the right. Absolutely, I have. And I always do wonder what the purpose of that is. Is it to keep you from something that you're not supposed to be a part of, or is it a lesson? I don't know. I don't know either.
It's really, really interesting to me because I did everything. And the other interesting thing is, okay, as prayer chaplains, we each have what's called a prayer chaplain stole, S-T-O-L-E. And that's this thing you wear, you know, like a minister. And it's this long stole, and it's embroidered with your name and with all this insignia, you know, for Unity and prayer and everything. I moved a year ago, and everything was packed away, and I've been on emeritus, which means I've been, you know, not serving for the last year. I've been sort of still a prayer chaplain, but not actually in service, kind of like taking a break. I couldn't find it anywhere. I emailed.
Interesting.
I said, I can't find my soul. Should I still come? She said, absolutely. Please come. So, I mean, I did everything I could think of to be there. I cleared radio shows. I had other shows on my schedule today. I had a sick kid. No, it just, you know, like there are some things we have no control over. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I think there's a lot of things we have no control over. I just think we like to think we have control. I think as human beings, we love
to
think
I would agree
that
with
we
that.
Have control.
fellow book about fate, things jumping into the way, making it impossible to do certain things, and you can't figure out why, and later it's because you were supposed to head in a different direction. So these
yeah.
weird things pop up. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
What was that book again? Because I'm sure the listeners love it.
Robert Ostello. I'm trying to, I think it's something called Your Destiny, or the word destiny is in the title, but it's Robert Ostello, and he, O-T-H-E-L-L-O.
Okay.
Let's see, do I have it anywhere
yeah.
near me? Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's called, it's Ohado. Excuse me, Ostello. I've got Shakespeare on the brain here. It's Transforming Fate into Destiny. Robert Ohado, and it's O-H-O-T-T-O, A New Dialogue with Your Soul. And he talks so much about that, you know, strange, weird things like that that happen to you, popping up, making it impossible for you to do something. It's a very interesting perspective, and it gave me a lot of peace when I read that, because when those kinds of things happen to me, Oceana, I really beat myself up for being an idiot. I really take those very personally. I'm not one of those that shrugs it off and says, oh, well,
right.
I tried. I really
yeah,
say
me
to
either.
Myself, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You should have left earlier. You blah, blah, blah. You're disorganized. You know, you're incompetent.
Mm.
I mean, the self-talk that can come up for one of these is
oh,
it's pretty
yeah.
big. So this book was a lot
it's
of comfort. Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
it's really interesting
yeah.
to me because I'm that way as well. Like, I take my responsibilities extremely and my commitments extremely seriously. And I
yeah.
think that there are several schools of thought that have taught us that we are the masters of our universe and our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, New Age has a real serious, and this is a unity event in a way. You know, these people, this person who passed, and the whole, you know, unity chaplain, prayer chaplain thing, and her partner, they're all very, very active in unity, which is, you know, you're responsible for your commitments. You're creating your reality. If anyone ever went to EST or the Forum, Landmark Forum,
yeah.
then you would know that, you know, you're ultimately responsible. Now, they don't tell you to beat yourself up about it. And that's a thing that I
right.
think we do to ourselves with our ego. And I think it's a thing that people misinterpret about New Age and about, you know, it's kind of like called, you know, either it's called spiritual malpractice, actually. But that said, if you're from that school of thought, then you're like, okay, why did I create this? And you're trying to figure out, you know, what did I do? Why did I, you know, was it a part of me to go? Was it, you know, and then there's other people.
Was something
going to
happen
in the New Age. Right. Exactly. In the New Age, more New Age, like angels and, you know, like unicorns and fairies, like plant, like type of belief systems, which are out there. And then it's like, it was a sign. I wasn't supposed to go, you know. And then I was reading a book yesterday. It's something about surrender, and it's Michael Singer. I'm trying to think of the name of the author, but it's a book my friend gave me, and I'm reading this, and he's extremely into Zen Buddhist meditation and yoga, and he devoted his life to surrendering the ego. In other words, if someone asked him to do something, he would, even if he didn't want to, if his ego was like screaming, no, he would do it. He would go on the path of what was guiding him, believing that the universe had the ultimate wisdom and could really orchestrate everything much more perfectly than he could. And the miracles that happened in his life as a result are pretty incredible. I mean, he became a multiple figure millionaire. I don't even know what you call it, $300 million a software company that he ran made. He ended up buying some land and a whole temple got built on it within 6 months. Like, things just, this whole community developed around it, and he didn't even want it. He went there to be alone, you know. And it just happened. it really just happened that simply. And, you know, there were gurus involved, and it was just about him following the universe, you know, following what was to be the most service that he could be in the world. And so I go around and around with these three schools of thought, and my frustration is, can I ever just pick one and just go with it? And I can't, because I have a tendency to want to look at every facet of the diamond. Like, I can't just, I'm not satisfied with one, you know?
Yeah, and you're very curious.
Yeah, and so, I mean, ultimately, sometimes, you know, and in this moment, because I just read that book, I want to just surrender. I want to just say, you know what? There's something bigger than me that is orchestrating something. I surrender my imperfection of maybe, you know, I could have left earlier, I could have this, I could have that, I could have tried to get a ride and carpooled. How would I have known? There are a million things I could have done, but I didn't. This is what I did, and this is how it turned out. And, yeah, and sometimes I think, you know, we wonder how long before I abandoned ship. You know, should I have stayed another hour waiting for everyone to come out? Like, how long do you actually wait before you, you know, when you're committed, before you say it didn't work? And some people have a time limit. They just have a time limit. They're like, 15 minutes, if the person doesn't show up for the meeting, I'm out of here.
That's interesting, Oceana. Let me ask you. That brings up a question I want to ask you. What is the benefit? And I can see some benefits, so this is somewhat rhetorical, but what is the benefit of giving yourself a time limit in situations
like
that?
As I was saying it, and now that you ask, I'm thinking, because then, okay, because also we know that what we speak about, right, we talked about words in another segment, what we speak about, the boundaries we create are actually what hold the container of what our reality is, right? So if we have a boundary that says 15 minutes and then time's up, then we know that the universe will either deliver within the 15 minutes or not. And we actually have a stronger container in which we're creating. That's what I think. What do you think?
Yes, yes. So I believe that people who are who do trust the universe enough to give a time limit, allow the universe to ultimately deliver or not as should be according to the person's destiny. So it seems like a very smart thing to do. And I will say this, when I don't give myself a time limit, because I'm like you, I don't tend to give myself time limits. and the reason is because I don't want to leave out. I'm afraid I might miss my chance. And what that does is that makes me stand there and wait for a long time. If you can give yourself a time limit, and I'm saying this, my aha, my light bulb's going off. If I can give myself a time limit, I'm saying to the universe, if it doesn't happen in this amount of time, I will accept the rightness of it not happening.
Yeah, that's a brilliant statement.
Mm-hmm.
I will accept the rightness. Because, you know, it's really... You know, did it work out perfectly? Well, who gets to say that? I mean, we either sit in regret or we choose, right? We choose that was how it was supposed to play out. Now, I'm thinking back to this book again, and I really was wondering, because I'm like, okay, do you just follow the flow of anything because you're surrendered? And how does desire play into that? Like, isn't desire put there? I thought, like, my belief has been desire is implanted pretty much before we're born. It's a part of our soul. Like, desire is, or wants, like, is the compass of our life, right? The direction of our life. And so if that's true, how does surrendering to anything that shows up, you know, in his paradigm, it was, I guess his desire was to be surrendered into service. And so for him, it played out perfectly because he created that paradigm. And I think it depends on, and it's like, it's this whole quote, right? If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail, right? So if we don't map out what's the construct of what we're living into, and then there's this, you know, allowing it to play out. I just don't think it's simple. I really don't.
And that's the wonderful thing about life is it's not. I was saying this to one of my kids yesterday that, you know, you're not going to get a lesson if something is simple. You're not going to get a lesson if everything's the same color. You're not going to get a lesson if everything is flat. You're not going to get a lesson if the temperature always stays the same. You have got to have differences, and some of the differences must be uncomfortable for you to get the lesson. It's just why we came. It's why we came.
Right.
So,
Right. Yeah, it's all so interesting. And so I just, I have to look at this and go, am I just not supposed to be, is this the universe, like, giving me a clear signal, you know, prayer chaplain is not a path for you anymore? You know, is it something you're supposed to, you know, like, there are so many ways to interpret this. Or am I just supposed to be home with my son who's not feeling well? Or what? And sometimes I think we have to wait. You know, and see, wait and see. Did Mercury go direct yet? That's another thing.
I believe it went direct on the 8th. Mm-hmm.
The 8th. And this is only, 2 days later. And so sometimes there's the aftermath. There's always an aftermath. Mm-hmm. It's not quite, you know,
straightened out. Let's talk about that. Because a lot of us do blame things. And blame is not the right word, because that's a judgy word, but I'm tired. I can't think of another word.
Attribute.
But
maybe we attribute.
For instance, I have a program that I am going to run on the 27th through the 4th, and the Detox Cleanse. And my computer, my site, has become infected with malware. And my team, my IT team, has said, listen, we cannot get this site cleaned up and get the sales page done in time for you to fill that program. And so now I'm left with I'm saying to myself, oh, Mercury retrograde. And I'm willing to say it's Mercury retrograde, but whether it is or isn't, that leaves me with a big decision what to do. You know, and same with you. I mean, yes, it may be Mercury retrograde or it may not be, but you're still left with the decision what to do, you know?
What do you do with the information? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it means I sit down and I meditate. First thing I do is forgive myself because, like, you know, I know we sensitive folks have a tendency to beat ourselves up mercilessly, you know? You know, we're feeling for everybody involved and we want people to be happy. We want people to be pleased. We want to do good, you know. So it's the forgiveness piece that suddenly alleviates the suffering and gets the mind to quiet down, you know. And so real deep self-forgiveness is my first thing. And then, you know, just tuning in, you know, and sometimes just make amends, call the people and say, wow, you know, this is what happened. I know I said I'd be there. I am so sorry that I didn't make it. And what can I do to make it up to you? Like, for me, that is a really important thing to say to people when your commitment is broken, irregardless of whether it was under your control. You know, or whether it appeared out of your control, how I make it up to you. And then, you know, the journaling that I do every single day, my spiritual practice every single day, no matter what, that is what keeps me grounded in guidance, you know. And so I don't know yet, but when I do sit down to meditate, magical things happen. Answers show up, aha moments show up, introspective realizations show up, messages and guidance, you know, information. It just shows up in that space of absolute silence. That's the way that I go about it. And, you know, I'm in this call with this situation, and I haven't had a chance to meditate yet. I just left, you know.
Right. You left and now you're on the
minutes.
TV. Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I go about it. And then, you know, if it's a situation like yours, I'm like, well, universe, what do you want me to do instead?
Mm-hmm.
And then allow it to come, brainstorm it. You know, and you know, there's a thing about the number three as a witch, right? The number three, like if you hear a message three times in three places, then that's your answer. So, you know, maybe there's a different forum you're supposed to be using, or a different
right.
a different
or
way
different
to do it. That's or a different time. You know, so.
Yeah.
I think that that's the only way that I know. If I keep looking outside of myself, I don't find the answers. I find other people's opinions and feelings. But if I look inside deeply, then, you know, and that requires really getting still, which I can't, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes I resist that, you know, I don't want to sit down and meditate.
Yeah.
It's just too much fun, you know, being on Facebook and, you know, talking to people and writing and, you know, doing anything sitting still and being quiet, you know.
I do.
And sometimes taking a shower or a bath is the only way to get myself
water.
To do it. Like, I'll meditate in a bathtub because I'm in there.
Mm.
There's nowhere I can go. I can't bring electronics in there with me. So.
I'm forced
to meditate, you know, and have ideas.
That's funny. Well, it occurred to me when you said, you know, the whole, you know, the number three and waiting for a three, you know, message three times, which, you know, we both do a lot. You are actually creating some boundaries, much like those people who say, okay, I'll wait for 15 minutes. You are creating a kind of a container for that. So, okay, I will wait for a message given three times. So you are doing that.
Right.
So we both are. So we shouldn't have that much discomfort expanding into a time limit. Yeah.
I think also choosing a paradigm of spiritual growth. Something I tend to not want to do. I want to integrate all the paths because I'm such a mystic, you know. I want to dive into every one of them.
Isn't it hard?
But you said, it's like, did the chicken come first or the egg? Do I choose the paradigm or do I surrender? You know, like, who's got that answer? But I don't even know if anybody does, really. It depends on which path you're on. It depends on, you know, and all of it is man-made, right? It's all constructed.
It's constructed by humans.
Other
absolutely.
People. Who actually knows? You know, who actually knows the right answer? I don't know that anybody does. We only know what we know within. That's it. That's all we know. And then, you know, we got to check it against, is that my mind making that up? Or is it just a knowing that's infused with complete and utter silent peace? You know, like, is it my mind or is it my soul?
Right.
And what does it all have to do with witchcraft? You know, that's the other question, because here we are talking about witchcraft, but we're getting very philosophical and esoteric in many directions.
Well, some people would say that witchcraft is very those things, because it is so intentional. And anytime you use the word intention, people start to think about the thinking behind an intention. And so then it becomes this ball of yarn where, you know, there is a lot of intellectualism in creating intentions. So perhaps that is the, that is the connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I
feel that witchcraft, actually the witchcraft, you know, I've been doing some intensive training because I never stop training ever. anytime I'm done training, one training, I'm in the next one. Because I am just intent on learning everything.
You're the queen of
curiosity,
Yeah,
and practicing deeply, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm studying right now is, it's pretty amazing because it's integrating everything into witchcraft. And so it's taking it so much deeper than I ever realized that it could go. So you can just talk about, you know, some basic spells and the very beginner stuff with witchcraft, or you can go into the deep, deep, deep mysteries, like powerfully deep mysteries that go, you know, back beyond anything, probably.
Right.
And it's all right there. So it depends on how far you're going to look into witchcraft and how far you're going to seek and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's exciting stuff. I mean, some people might be listening to us thinking, oh, my golly, I'm exhausted listening to these two. But it's so exciting,
right?
Especially for someone like one of us. And I'm assuming that you, listener, may be like us. Curious about things. So curious. It's so much fun.
It is the most fun ever for me. This is my happiest place, right? It's diving into the deepest depths of everything having to do with universal wisdom and love and spiritual depth. That's my spot, you know. This is the stuff that I want to talk about. I don't want to just talk about where I'm going to buy gas or, you know, what we're having
to
I'm just not a cocktail party lady. It's not me.
Right.
Let's sit down one-on-one and do eye gazing, man, until we see the face of God, you know?
I know. I really do. Oh, my gosh. And speaking of which, we have 60 seconds left. So, Oceana, wish you today that you get to see the face of God as you go through your day, and I wish the same for me and all the rest of you.
Yes, I hope everyone notices synchronicity and starts to think about their intention and what kind of paradigm they're going to create for themselves. Because I think that's where we're going to start to see power. So this has been awesome, Stephanie. I'm so glad that we talked about all of this today. It was a real good show.
Me too. Thank you so much, Oceana. This is Practical Witchery with Oceana LeBlanc, Stephanie Peterson. Please join us next week. We're so excited to have you with us. Bye-bye.
Yes, have a great day. Bye.